Welcome back to the Horror Junkies Podcast, the podcast that discusses all things horror. This is a bonus episode. I'm your host, Mike. I'm joined with my best buds, Pat and Dylan.
Yo, hello. Yo.
We don't think we're going to give you some holiday scares before we fucking leave for the new year?
Bonus episode. Who knew?
But yeah, it's real quick, guys. We just wanted to talk about a movie that I think we all love for the holiday season. It's a fun time to watch. This is gonna be a really quick episode just to give you guys some more extra content for the year while we go away and hibernate for the winter.
Yes, we have been eating many snacks throughout the whole year. our bellies are full. Our bellies are full, and it is now time for us to take a 2-week nap while it snows.
We're fucking hibernating.
The junkies will emerge in the new year.
We just did an episode with our top 10 movies each of 2023.
Yep.
And that's what's under the tree for you. You got some presents under the tree, but this is what gets put in your stockings.
Yes, this is the stocking stuffer episode for you, okay?
If you've been a good child... then check your stockings
because you're going to get some coal.
No coal. Santa has stuffed your stockings with extra Horror Junkies episodes. My God, tis the season. Am I fucking right, y'all? I ripped people this wheat like, pin way well. Too fucking hard, dude. You really did, dude.
But you're on a roll, and I love it.
Living after midnight, dog. Let's fucking go.
All right. Well, without that being said, guys, we're talking about fucking the 2015 release by our man, Michael Dougherty, Krampus.
Oh, my God.
What a fun National Lampoon horror thrill ride of a fucking movie. Yeah. I am so excited to talk about this movie. I don't know if we've ever talked about it. No. I tried to go through our entire
Doesn't matter,
Dylan. We're here now. And
we're here now.
We're either doing it for the first time or we're revisiting this shit. So I just want to open the floor. Initial thoughts. Krampus, what do you guys think? What do you love? What do you hate?
Patrick.
The fact that we haven't talked about this movie. I haven't seen this movie since theaters, and I'm like, with it aged like fine wine.
Oh, did it?
I was like, oh, shit. This movie's actually fucking great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a stacked cast.
Yeah.
Got this the queen herself, Toni Collette. Fucking, if you don't know who that is,
my queen.
Hereditary. Other films. So many
other films. She's the mom in Sixth Sense.
She's the mom in Sixth Sense.
Also the yeah. Mom. How can you not forget Tony? My girl Tony been at it for a minute.
She also plays the mom in the remake of Fright Night.
She does play the mom in Fright Night. Also,
she's
Adam
a good mom,
Scott,
y'all. She's a fantastic mom.
One of my favorite actors. You may know him from Anchorman. David Kocher.
Ah, dude, he is a treasure, dude.
He really is. Isn't
he in Bubble Boy? You know Bubble Boy,
the
Jake Gyllenhaal
right
movie?
Yeah, dude. Yes. I'll tell you right now.
He's the redneck guy that starts the fight with him because he's in a bubble.
I think
so. And then
he
tells him he got immunities, and all the dumb rednecks are like, he's got immunities. Run away.
Bubble Boy came in the 90s. God, we gotta go down. His discography is so fucking huge. This guy's been in everything.
He's a renaissance man.
He's been in Piranha 3D, Final Destination 5. He was in Paul.
Oh, he was in Paul. Yeah, no, he's what's his character's name in The Office?
Oh, God.
Packard.
Packard.
Dude, he's had some fucking incredible lines.
He was in one episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm back in 2002.
Whammy.
I can't see Bubble Boy on here, but I'm sure it is.
I swear he's one of the rednecks in Bubble Boy.
Every time I see him, I'm like, this and now it confirms it because we did just talk to Dylan's dad.
Well, my dad's not quite like that. No, he plays a lot of characters that are the like physical embodiment of like a Who Farted t-shirt.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
So
Dorothy Matthews is a saint.
Yeah. No. Everyone said that he would be Bill Dobrev in the live action King of the Hill.
Yeah, yes. I agree.
100%. Yeah. No, he's just a really good comedic actor. I don't know if I've seen him in anything drama like that.
I don't think he does drama, honestly.
He really was like the cousin Ed Randy Quaid of this fucking movie.
Oh, 100%. I remember when I first watched this movie and we get introduced to his character, I immediately just thought about National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation when Cousin Ed, is it Cousin Ed? Yes. Comes to Christmas.
Cousin Eddie.
And he's just fucking in his trailer trash self. I'm like, this is that character. And this is exactly what I think Michael Daughtry fucking wrote this character as, is like a new version of Cousin Eddie.
He definitely took inspiration of Cousin Eddie.
There's a director's cut, which there is a naughty version of this movie, I would love to see a scene where he's just out in his like bathrobe wearing a fucking hat, dumping the fucking sewage of the RV, even though they don't drive one, into the fucking
he drives a fucking Hummer. Because of course he does.
Yes.
Of course he does. He's definitely like the more like gun-toting MAGA version of Cousin Eddie. Yeah. You know, like boys are boys and girls are girls. You know, like he's definitely like that. You get the great thing about this movie is that when everyone's in the house, you get your cast of characters.
Yeah.
That most people would experience at their own family Christmas gathering. Yeah. Much like what National Lampoon's Christmas did. Yes. And really not since, I mean, there's been a lot of Christmas movies with family dynamics in it, but none of them had this.
No.
None of them's got this tinge to it, man. I mean,
agreed.
I watched it because I watched it last night, and I'm telling you, do you want my opinion on it yet or what?
That wasn't your first time watching it, was it?
No. Okay. I went to the theater and saw it.
I will say, before we go into spoilers, this not only is it like an homage to like horror movies and shit like that, it's an homage to like even outside of the horror genre, like Christmas movies.
Yes.
Which I find is so genius of this movie to do that.
Constantly in every scene, there is something Christmassy going on.
Which makes sense.
And it's a reference to like Christmas movies. Yes.
Yeah.
I like that it has the way it starts with the whole what's the song it plays in the beginning of the movie? Oh god.
I just saw it last night and I can't remember.
It's Christmas. It's a Christmas song, guys, all right? But it's showing like all of like the black like the old like Black Friday deals, people losing their fucking minds. Tackling each other, fucking fighting over presents. Because this movie, what it does is it sets up the whole premise of this movie is that people have forgotten what Christmas is truly about, right?
And everyone is going to remind them.
Exactly. And something is going to remind them truly about what Christmas is about. It is about family and being with each other and spending that time and connection with people that you don't normally spend time with. Not all of the materialistic items that we acquire.
It's all about the presents.
Yeah, the presents.
The presents.
Yeah, and I love the Christmas feel of this movie, like the fact that like grandma, I don't know if she's like German or if she's Polish, but she's around that area of the world. You know, she's making gingerbread cookies and she's making all these like cool fucking like Christmas themed treats, and it just feels nice. It feels like a nice warm sweater when you're watching this movie. Because if you didn't have this type of Christmas when you were younger, it makes you kind of aspire to have this kind of Christmas when you're older. Like, yeah,
if would you love didn't have to it, give it to this. Your kids,
you or know? Just do it as an adult,
or do it for yourself. Yeah, you don't have to have kids to you know,
fucking make some gingerbread
experience the magic and majesty of a Christmas morning.
Yeah,
you know,
I even love the grandma. She's like making hot cocoa, and
she's the
good looking hot cocoa too.
Yeah. Oh, that shit was like was that.
She used
bomb.
Milk. That shit was thick.
Yeah, she's just like,
question.
You know, hot chocolate makes everything better. After.
Question, yeah, because it does, and she's not wrong about that. No, but did you guys get stockings as kids?
100%.
What did y'all? What was the normal?
Mike still
stuff?
Gets them this year.
I get them too, dog.
My mom does not let that go.
Stockings are very big. So with my family, we celebrate Christmas on the 24th. So we open all of our presents on the 24th.
Having yourselves a liberal Christmas, ain't
this
you?
Well, no. This is actually very big in Spanish culture. Like this is how they celebrate Christmas.
So not American.
Not American. So we do a big thing. You know, we call names and like this person from so-and-so. And everyone takes their time to open one present, and everyone watches that person open. It's a very fun thing. And if you guys ever come for the holidays and we do something about it, I would love to introduce you to, because it's very fun. It's not what I grew up with versus like, here's your gifts, and everyone just opens their stuff and goes away. It's a very familiar, very fun.
Go ahead. Does Issa celebrate Three Kings?
So that, not really, but that's the whole point of the whole stocking and all that kind of stuff. So the next day, we always have stockings. And if we're with her parents, dude, they're all out. I'm talking, we're getting candy, we're getting, you know, little soaps, and we're getting all kinds of fun little things. They're always little things.
Candles.
As a kid, my stockings were more like just candies, a toothbrush, and things like that. Stockings now are the shit. And I usually post them on my Instagram, and they go out. Like, Issa does not fuck around when it comes to this shit.
I always get a bar deodorant. My mom's always just like,
hey, you know what? Especially if it's the brand you use, I'm about it.
No, she's very good about being like, you know, don't forget, you know.
Stank melon, put some deodorant on.
She'll always like, I'll go into the kitchen for dinner, and she's so about washing her hands, she'll be like, did you watch your doo-doo hands? You came in here and started touching all the food. I'm like, I ain't got doo-doo hands. I'll put them in a washer, you know? But my mom also does something really cool, kind of more so recently when I got older. I would say probably the last 5-6 years that she's done it. She's included a Seinfeld relevant item.
I love that. That's amazing.
last year, she got me the astronaut pin that writes upside down.
Yes.
And the year before, she got me a box of Juji fruit. Like every year, and like she got me a new stocking, and it's a Seinfeld stocking.
Oh my god!
That's and awesome. Last Christmas, she sent me a Festivus Christmas card. She's three houses down from me,
and
sends me a Christmas card in the mail.
I love it. I love
with Halloween too. But my mom's usually up at our farm in North Carolina with my dad. So she'll send a Christmas card from there. You know, listen, I learned the power of a handwritten card. All right. It as a kid, maybe not so much unless it had money in it. But when you're an adult and your emotions are all over the place, you know, that shit's like a kite with a key attached to it during a thunderstorm, dog. This shit just hits you, you know?
Yeah.
What about you, Pat? Stockings for you and stuff?
Oh, yeah. And I also, because I'm half Hispanic, my mom would celebrate the Three Kings, where we used to have to put carrots and water under our bed, and then we would get our presents that way.
Yeah.
Carrots?
Yeah, it's the whole thing, brother.
So the Three Kings, because they traveled in camels.
Yeah.
To give presents to Jesus or whatever.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yes, that's good. Yeah. See, okay,
Issa's parents aren't that extreme, but like they keep things up for certain things. Like, I can't remember the name of it. She was here. I'd ask her. But I got a question for you guys. Did your parents ever do any type of like letters from Santa in your all stockings?
The time. Yeah.
So like I'd always like, this is when I was a kid younger. I would the morning of we'd have our presents, but then there would always be like a letter addressed to us from Santa. That on like North Pole letterhead, Santa Workshop letterhead, and was like, "Wadoo, wadoo, wadoo, Happy Christmas."
1 year, my letter was like misspelled.
I love that. Santa was drunk.
Yeah.
I don't remember if they did that. What I remember is that all the presents that they got me, they would wrap some of them in regular wrapping paper.
And some with Santa themed?
And some with like solid paper. I remember getting presents that were solid blue wrapping paper. They were from Santa. And other presents that weren't wrapped in that were from my mom and dad.
My dad and my stepmom did something like that, where like they had wrapping paper that they bought gifts, and then because like there was always gifts, and then the next morning there would be more gifts because Santa came, and those would be wrapped in like wrapping, like Santa themed wrapping paper.
I remember 1 year my mom got me, we have a running joke, and my mom got me a stuffed chupacabra.
I love
as a stocking stuffer. We always make jokes about that. For some reason I can't remember how it started, but every time I walk home from their house from having dinner, because it's like a 30-second walk, 1-minute walk, she's always like, because it's always at night, she goes, "Don't let the chupacabra get you." And I'm like, well, don't like, say it, it'll happen.
It's like, it's like when we were children, we had to, like, I think all of us, I can speak for all of us, where we all had this like very high notion of quicksand at any moment in time was going to be our a way of death. Dude, quicksand was like a very common thing.
I have so much anxiety of growing up. I'm like I'm going to fall in fucking quicksand.
I'm going
to
die.
Who's going to be around to get me? Can they get me?
Yeah.
I don't even know how it works. I just saw a cartoon coyote falling in.
I don't think people are as afraid of quicksand as they should be, honestly.
No. And walking down my road,
we're going to get fucked up by quicksand.
Walking down my road when it's a full moon, I have a lot of dead trees across like that I walk on my path. And I'll catch a quick glance of like a couple of dead branches in the full moonlight. And I'm like, oh, chupacabra. Like, I fucking have to run. I hear coyotes yipping and I'm like,
I'm out of here, brother. I'm out.
Can't be certain that ain't one of them. So, you know,
but it's
I'm getting my blood sucked, yeah. Goat or not.
Yeah. It's fun to see like the fun, like Christmas traditions that we have. And then like the things they keep in this, in the movie, one of the main characters is this little boy who has written a letter to Santa. And the grandmother, like, she's very big on making sure that he feels Christmas and that he truly believes in Christmas. And they have this fancy dinner, the entire family. They bring the aunt who was, what is she? She played the cleaner in 2.5 Men.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was in Mr. Deeds too.
Yeah.
And like that's a whole thing of itself because they brought her. She's like a horrible woman. No one gets along with her. She just kind of showed up and they had this meal and it's fancy and like the fucking Cousin Eddie character, I can't remember his name in the movie, but he's like, my turkey's dry. And Adam Scott's like, well, mine's delicious. And he's like, well, mine's dry. He's like, do you want to drink? Because he's trying to like be like protective of his wife's cooking, who just like cooked an entire meal for all these people.
Yeah.
And like they're like, we better off if we just had KFC and fucking Mountain Dew.
And then she was like, sorry, it's not macaroni and cheese and hot dogs.
And I said, wait a minute,
macaroni and cheese and hot dogs.
That actually is a banger. So I don't know why.
That's American bangers and mash. It's hot dogs and macaroni and cheese.
But yeah, dude, the movie does a good job of setting it up to be like this very like a stressful time for a family. It's very Christmassy. I love how much the grandma is like really invested in making sure the youngest kid has a really good Christmas. And then, of course, fucking Tweedledee and Tweedledum have to be complete assholes and grab his fucking Christmas letter and read it out loud. And it's not even like he's wanting all these things. He's just like, I wish mom and dad are doing better as a relationship. I wish my sister was doing this. I hope that my aunt and uncle's lives improve. Like, it's actually like a really solid letter of like a kid being like, I've noticed that my family's having some rough times, that my aunt and uncle are down on the dumps, and he's just wishing for everyone to have a better life. And then like also he puts in a line where it's like, I wish also that my uncle would stop wishing that his two daughters were boys. And that's where like the fucking family fight starts happening.
Yeah.
Listen, those two girls, I don't know which one. And, I don't know which one, but one of them in the future, long story short, they don't have a bunch of a future, but if they did, one of them would be the proud owner of a
boy.
of a Subaru Forester.
Oh, yes, 100%.
Yes.
With a pair of Lilith Fair tickets in the glove box.
Yeah. The other would be giving
a couple of Melissa Etheridge front row seats, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. One
of them's going to learn how to lay drywall. They're very like butchy, like,
yeah. Because their dad
wants them to be like boys. Like, yeah, so like, you know, Dylan's making a butchy lesbian joke, but it's true.
The dad is literally forcing
the proportionate number of lesbians in Subarus has been proven.
It's true. It's very true. It is the car of choice. There's no arguments there.
For the outdoorsy person in your life.
And that's where shit goes to hell, right? That's like, well, the movie really takes its first big turn. The huge family fight. The mom is just trying to serve fucking creme brulees, which, listen, that's what we used to do with Issa's parents. And like when we're doing like Thanksgiving or Christmas dinners, like the dessert is creme brulee because it's a fucking fabulous dessert.
I myself enjoy a nice creme brulee.
I had one today at my job's holiday party. I was like, I saw it on the menu. I'm like, a creme brulee and a cafecito.
Everyone's getting drunk and passing out, and you're just over there in the corner eating everyone's creme brulee. Oh, dude,
I scarfed it down with such ferocity and drank my coffee, and I was like, all right, everyone, I'm heading out. And I looked at everyone that was fucking wasted, and I said,
You can't tell me what to do.
I said, I better not get one fucking call out in the morning. I was like, you did this to yourself. It's fucking 3 in the morning. It's 3 in the afternoon. You are wasted. Please, you are not calling out tomorrow.
No way.
But anyways, he rips up his fucking letter. And that's where like the whole tonal shift of the movie happens. The color dynamics change. And
it's very whimsical when it happens. He kind of all the shreds spiral up to the moon in the wind. And it's got like that kind of Home Alone-ish soundtrack sound to it behind it. Makes it kind of Christmas whimsy, whatnot. But
yeah, and that's also when he makes the wish, which is a very much reference to Home Alone.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's very, and it's sad because, you know,
he just wanted a nice Christmas for
everyone. Maybe parents who listen to our podcast with their kids and their kids still believe in Santa, maybe this wasn't such a good idea. Maybe we'll put a warning in the spoiler. Like, if you have kids and they're around and they still believe in Santa, like, don't play this.
What do you mean? Yeah. Saying this not real.
You want to know the time I found out he wasn't?
Oh, dude.
Yeah, let's go. All right. Okay. Hold on.
I would tell. I don't want to piss my mom off because I bring it up every year, and she goes, "I didn't do that," and I'm like,
"Yeah,
yeah, you fucking did."
Well,
her story is fucking horrible. Yeah, I
filmed my parents and caught them.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
so the year prior, they got me a video camera, so I used that camera to catch them in the act. And the year after,
fucking to catch a predator.
What 90s child Disney movie did you live in? Like,
all right, I've been suspecting my family is lying about the origins of Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So I've hooked up my camera to fucking observe the Christmas tree all night long. Yeah, I caught them red fucking handed.
It's just your parents yelling at each other under their breath. Yeah, bitch. Which one was which? Shut up.
I honestly cannot remember how or when that shift happened with me. I think I was just the normal, like, I grew up and was just like, yeah, this is fake. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I ever caught them doing anything. I just kind of got older and was like, this is definitely just them. Like, I think I was like 6, 7. I was like, this is them. Like, but I kept it alive because, like, I had a younger sister, and, like, of course, we're not gonna be assholes and ruin it for her. Like, in other holiday movies, like, Santa Claus is a real dude. It's like, let the fucking kid be a kid and enjoy what you also enjoyed as a kid, you fucking dweeb.
That's what it is about. That's the sad part about the main kid in this movie is that he is the innocence of a child around Christmas personified.
Yep.
And he wants to stay there as long as he can, also because his parents aren't getting along and not being what they used to be, and Christmas is changing. And if Christmas is changing, then that means his life is changing and his family's changing, and he wants to hold on to it as long as he can. And the grandmother understands that in her own way and tries her best to do it, but everyone else is so concerned with themselves in one way or another, or, like, you know, the mom wants to impress, but she's doing it for the wrong reasons, but also to a group of people that don't care.
Yep.
And of course, you know, the family, you know, the sister and, you know, the asshole kind of guy, you know, there's a line that they're like, oh, who would do something like that? And the wife and the sister goes, probably a Democrat. And, like, so they're definitely red state Republican types. And, you know, they don't fucking care about classy shit because they think anything outside of a trailer park or outside of a fucking 4-door Jeep Wrangler is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, the guy drives a big gas guzzling piece of shit. And all of this comes into play in a beautiful way that I'll talk about later. But, and the father's just, he's kind of like a soft-spoken, like, gentle liberal dad.
Yeah.
And he kind of gets pushed around by, like, the rough and tough, like, the shepherd's got to protect his flock type thing. which is very much wolves don't care about the opinions of sheep shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see that on the back of every Jeep Wrangler and Dodge Ram that I see in this fucking town, dude. everyone's like, oh, we're not cheap, but you all drive the same fucking cars and you all get the same shitty like door handle color replacements on all your Jeeps. And you all have ducks on your in your Jeep thing because apparently it's a thing that like in Florida. Because I asked my buddy Gino if they do it in California because he owns a Jeep Wrangler. And he's like, fuck no, dude. No one does that shit here. But like you're supposed to leave a rubber duck on someone's Jeep Wrangler and they're supposed to put it on the dashboard and they're supposed to collect rubber ducks from other Jeep owners.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Welcome to the cult of Jeep Wranglers, dude.
Oh, my God.
You know, but fucking. Yeah. So they're definitely that archetype. But I love the aunt.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. She's so good at playing like such a disrespectful cunt, dude. She's so bad. She's so good at it.
Yeah. She's the fucking worst. Like, God. But I just look at that moment, like, the movie shifts and then everything turns to shit. Like, they go to bed and then, like, the town is encompassed by an incredibly insane blizzard. White out. You can't see shit. And it's a
menacing storm.
Yeah.
Very menacing. It's very, intense. Very, very odd.
And then the daughter's like, oh, my boyfriend or whatever, love in like particular, could be boyfriend. He's not picking up. I need to check on him. And the dad's like, well, it's only 2 blocks down the road.
Which is so stupid.
Dude, it's a blizzard. Come on. What the fuck? Yeah. It's also Christmas. Like, the fuck?
But it makes sense. You know, young people, 10 months, a 10 month relationship may as well be 10 years.
Exactly. Then she goes down and walks down the fucking road. All these cars are fucking abandoned and. Enter our fucking man Krampus. Dude,
that was so sick.
The fucking phenomenal. Jumping of the house. It does such a good, like, this movie is funny. Like, that's the thing. This is a funny movie, but when it gets its like when it actually dials in on the horror and the creature design, holy fuck, dude. Yeah. I mean, I expected no less from this man because this is the guy who gave us Trick or Treat. But dude, that Krampus is one like that. Saving those cloven hoofs, walk through the snow. That fucking Jack in the Box, the din, 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 and it just stops, and then all of a sudden it just fucking like he grabs her, and it's just like the amount of terror and like high anxiety you're at that scene. You're just like, oh my God, this girl's fucked. Like she has nowhere to go. Like she can't go anywhere.
The sound design. Of this movie is phenomenal, you know, because I'm almost kind of done kind of constructing my living room theater setup with my, you know, my Atmos soundbar I just got. And, you know, it's, the thing is my couch that I sit on, I've got the subwoofer in the corner on the right side of my couch against like the corners of the wall. Mm-hmm. And I have a satellite speaker on my left and my right, and my soundbar shoots upward for Atmos. The sound design in this fucking movie is so awesome. And especially in that scene where he just fucking hulks down.
Yeah.
And he's so big and massive that each step is such a fucking effort. And it's so heavy and each hoof hits the ground and it's so impactful. But he's nimble enough to leap from fucking rooftop to rooftop.
That motherfucker be jumping.
And the rumbling of my walls. Dude, my cat was acting like Dracula was having a fucking nom flashback. He was like, what's that? What's that? Dude, what's that? Loretta, my kitten, she'll sleep through anything. But Dracula's very much like, what the fuck is that? What's that? Who are you? Put that down. Don't come near me. Don't touch me. I'll kill you. It was freaking my cats out. It was so realistic. Yeah, but the sound design in that, and then when the gingerbread men are in the attic and in the walls, it literally sounds like they're in my roof, giggling and laughing, calling on my roof, and I'm like, holy shit, dude.
I love like the react. I love the way that they make the characters react to things, mm-hmm. the loud noises. Oh, it's probably just a squirrel. And the thing is, I think the most is listen to the grandma. Like she has been on point with everything. Must keep the fire hot. Burn the fire hot. Do not let it go out. And what do? They fucking all pass out and the fire goes out.
Well, they pass out because both dads, mm-hmm. when the daughter is missing, Adam Scott and what's the other guy's name?
Oh God, here I have
it's like up. David.
I think it's Dave. oh, what is his name? I just had it. It is David. Yep.
Dave what?
David Kocher.
David Kocher. All right. So when David and Adam go out to look for Adam's daughter, and they get attacked by, I'm guessing it's elves. Because they
don't really show them, but I think it is the elves.
Because they move similarly towards the end when the elves are attacking them.
Yeah.
So I'd assume it's elves, but they all get they go out and in the Hummer, and it breaks down, and then like it gets destroyed a little bit later on. But they go out and David Kocher gets attacked, and then they come back, and then they kind of board everything up, and then. That's when, he's supposed to stay up and watch, you know, the shepherd protects his flock. But you can also tell that he's kind of a fuck up too. And a lot of the grandstanding and boasting is very machismo.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's very false. It's a very thinly veiled form of masculinity that a lot of people like that, not necessarily saying they're all Republicans. But the ones I know, I'm just kidding. But yeah, he constantly does not own up to the image that he portrays. And when he falls asleep, that's when the fire goes out. And then that's when
all hell breaks loose, which I pose a question for the both of you. Of all the creatures in this movie, and I'm going to say exclude Krampus because that one will always take the cake out of all of his little minions, I should say. Which is your favorite in this movie?
Definitely Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
That I will say, the fat kid.
the linebacker, the future linebacker.
Yeah.
The iPad kid. Chugging Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
The iPad kid, chugging Mountain Dew.
Do you guys think that kid is a reference to Bad Santa and the fat kid in that movie?
That makes sense.
Yeah. Because they almost look alike.
Exactly the same.
I made you a pickle.
God, what a good movie.
but I just think I almost want to say the elves because Patrick, we went together. I mean, Krampus was a Halloween Horror Nights house a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And it was one of the funnest houses we've ever been in because they actually jumped through the windows and stuff.
I was there for that too, I think, wasn't I?
I had to have been
because I remember going to that. Whether it was you or not, I don't know. But
I don't think you were with us, but I know you're me and Pat weren't together. But I just also think that's another addition, a plus for this movie is the fact that it was turned into a fucking Halloween Horror Nights house. It had so much hype, even though it doesn't have great reviews. It's sitting at a 66,
which is odd.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
No, going back and even our conversations before I rewatched this movie of Dylan, because we had the conversation of do you think this is better than Trick or Treat?
Yeah,
and Dylan, he had his opinion of being Krampus. In his opinion, is better.
It is, and I know that's going to be a lot of sacrilege to some fucking Halloween whores, people that are just
And when you said that, I'm like, Dylan's crazy. And then I rewatched the movie. I'm like, fuck. Is this better than Trick or Treat?
It's fucking wild, dude.
tell me what in that movie is not well executed.
Exactly.
Tell me. And I'll tell you you're wrong.
Yeah. No. And there's in Trick or Treat, there's a part of the movie that I don't like, So I'm like, fuck. What is that? The vampire stuff. I didn't really
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I liked it for Anna Paquin.
I mean, yes. I mean, yes. Yes.
Take out the vampire thing, but bring it back to the werewolf scene. Yeah, that's sick. I love that. To me, it's hard. I really do love Trick or Treat. Trick or Treat has a very special place in my heart. It's a movie Issa and I love to watch together all the time. But we also enjoy Krampus. We watch Krampus all the time, too. So, I don't know if I can say... I'll put it this way. Trick or Treat is my favorite Halloween movie.
Yeah.
And Krampus so far is my favorite Christmas movie when it comes to.
And I don't think anything could even come close.
No, I don't think there's any. There's no other Christmas horror movie.
Jack Frost, or whatever the fuck that shit's called.
I mean, I don't.
Santa think Slays with Goldberg.
Yeah.
Or Santa versus. Come on, dude.
All these if there is Christmas horror,
Black
movies,
Christmas.
Fucking... Oh, true. But I still think I don't know. I think I like Krampus because it still feels like a Christmas movie.
No, Black Christmas just feels like a Christmas themed slasher.
Yeah.
Krampus is a Christmas movie.
And the thing is because
it's a horror Christmas movie.
And it's so beyond that because it does reference other movies that's not even in the genre of horror. Another thing too, that fat kid from Bad Santa, he's in Trick or Treat. I forgot about that.
yeah, he is. he's everywhere.
Throws up,
he's
the chocolate. Everywhere.
Yeah. Was he Augustus Gloop in the fucking Wonka remake? Jesus Christ.
That'd be hilarious if he was.
Like, you will be typecasted as short, fat, white, blonde kid.
I mean,
eat chocolate, fatty.
Krampus is a fun film, guys. And I think that, you know, it has a lot of great kills. It has a lot of good scares. The elves busting through the doors. The snowmen that were built outside. Like, there's a lot of good set design in this movie.
Set design, costume design, production.
The fucking crazy teddy bear. The angel. Snowman. The snowman. The Jack in the Box is fucking terrifying.
Yeah. Jack in the Box is horrifying. Fucking
shit, dude. That thing is scary. Especially I think I even took a picture of it or made a video of it, and I was like, what would you do if you came into walking your attic and saw this? Like, what are you it's just, he does such a great job of character design, execution, set design. Like, I love his movies. Now, this man also made Godzilla, which is, I enjoy, but he also did Godzilla King of Monsters, which
I liked them both.
I liked them both, yeah.
So, like, I love that he has, like, these cool, weird movies, but then he has, like, these major blockbuster movies.
Yeah.
Well, I talked about when I saw Godzilla Minus One, I always said that for the narrative and the story, Godzilla Minus One is better.
Yeah.
But right. For the vibe and the atmosphere that he sets with his Godzilla movie, it's a little bit more Jurassic Park in a way that you think Jurassic Park is all going to be about dinosaurs. No, it's a lot about characters, and it works successfully because we remember these characters to this day. Who doesn't remember, Dr. Grant, Dr. Ian Malcolm,
John Hammond,
who doesn't, even Newman's character, who could forget,
or the Safari King.
And Wayne Knight, but come on, y'all, it's Newman.
Yeah.
You can't be that good at a character and not be called that
Dawson.
Name.
We got Dawson over here.
Kind of losing the point here a little bit.
It's okay.
It's more about the dinosaurs and Godzilla being an element of the human experience.
Yeah.
You know, so he did that very well. But I mean, the guy also, we bring up Trick or Treat. I mean, he kind of, I don't know if he did it on purpose, but he made a horror icon in Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, everybody loves Sam. My mom and I watched Trick or Treat on Halloween, and it was her first time seeing it, and she fell in love with it.
He's a cute little guy.
Because it embodies everything that a Halloween movie
should
really be in a lot of ways. Like, if you're going to make a movie set on Halloween, about Halloween in some way or whatsoever, take notes.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is too, is like this guy, because of Krampus and Trick or Treat are both holiday movies. Mm-hmm. I would love to see what he would have done if he had like the idea of doing Thanksgiving instead of Eli Roth, you know?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
It's not so much Eli Roth that I have a problem with.
No, I don't either. I'm just saying, like, if you gave this guy the job of doing holiday movies, movies.
yes.
Dude, my bloody
there's
Valentine.
Still Easter. Easter's still available. It's on the table.
That's true. Dude,
if you made a monster out of the Easter bunny, it'd be fucking horrifying.
And like eggs and fucking like other shit.
If they did that, it had to be like an old school one. Like, because those old school Easter bunny costumes are so terrifying, and they feel like they just suck the souls of children's. I just listen. Krampus to me is a fun holiday. If you're looking for a fun holiday horror film to watch, Krampus should be top tier on your list. Watch fucking, Black Xmas, the original and the remake. Those are fun Christmas-themed slashers. But I think, like, if you're truly looking for a horror movie that hits on all the Christmas vibes that we know and love, then this definitely needs to be in your top list to watch. And if you've never watched this, holy shit. Like, this, you need to watch this, like, for Christmas. Put this shit on Christmas Eve. Warm batch of gingerbread cookies and watch this movie.
I will say the animation when it is when she's telling the story of Krampus. I love the animation style, but I wish they went to like the old school, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed like reindeer.
Oh, really?
Like the old classic, like stop motion Christmas movies,
Frosty the Snowman.
Just another like layer of reference to holiday traditions.
You say this.
What's the one with the Yeti? And the snowman with like the mustache. That was because there's the cartoon and then there's the stop animation.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
No idea.
But if they did,
I know what you're talking about, but I have no idea.
If they did that style and to telling the Krampus origin story or the Krampus story.
I think she was telling it from, I think she was telling it more from like an old country.
It's her. Like an the whole story was her.
Yeah. So it's, she tells it from something, the way it's animated is more fitting for like an old Eastern European, like old country.
I think you guys are also missing the fact that this animation closely, closely resembles that of Resident Evil Village.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you watch the beginning of Resident Evil Village when they do the storybook animation, it's very similar. And I've been trying to figure out if it is the same animation studio that did that. I honestly think, even though I do love the animation style, I think personally, if they would have done it in a way similar to the Deathly Hallows in Harry Potter, it would have been darker and creepier. Because that is just so, that is one of my favorite animations in a movie.
Yeah.
But
doing a Tim Burton style
Yeah,
just a reference
that would have been wild.
Nightmare Before Christmas, like stuff like that.
But
again, it's not a complaint. I was just like,
but it worked.
Add on to another layer of like a reference to Christmas media.
And when but she holds the bell.
I think with Krampus, I think you kind of have to in a way because of its origins, you know, and like and kind of where it exists in old folklore books, like Eastern European old folklore books. So it kind of fits the idea of Krampus a little bit more than a stop motion, I would say. Mm-hmm. Like if you were doing like a killer snowman movie or like Killer Frosty the Snowman type shit, same premise but with that, since it's a little more rooted in stop animation, or like a Rudolph, like Killer Reindeer, I feel like a stop motion would be a little more appropriate for that. But I, you know, given the old European tones of Krampus, I feel like it really fits.
No, it's not even a complaint of mine. I'm just saying it, it would just add another layer to
the whole pulling to different movies and
things.
The point of the matter is we fucking like this movie.
Yeah.
And
you don't want to talk about the end?
Oh, I'm good in there, brother. I'm getting
there. Okay. I thought I was about to get the rating.
So the end of this movie is fun because he gets the bell from his grandmother. She has the, like, once she's telling the story, she literally she's holding the Krampus bell. And then he pretty much like he runs out the house because his entire family has been taken by Krampus and his minions. And he's talking about like how he takes back his he's taking back his wish. He doesn't want this. He doesn't want this to happen anymore. And then like hell pretty much breaks open. Like it's wild. Like the ending of this movie is like just bizarre. Like the fucking the reindeer demons that are pulling the sleigh, like it's just everything about it's fucked, and I love.
There's not one not cool thing.
No, this ending is metal as fuck. Is what
even before the ending when they reveal what he looks like, him going through the chimney, and his hands creepily coming out of it.
Yeah, dude, it's just it's unreal. Yeah, and I just love the fact that like. You think that you can take back your wish and you can. Like, he does all this. You think it's going to happen. And then it is what it is. Like, nothing shows them waking up the next day and it was all a dream. Nothing shows them going back to that, you know, moments before him tearing up the letter. Nothing like that happens. Like, you just have to assume that, like, either things went back to normal or this entire family was just wiped out and this kid remains like his grandmother.
Well, when the complete ending, when they zoom out and it's in a globe or whatever, it's such a reference to even like it felt like the ending of Jeepers Creepers.
That the Who's snowflakes.
Yeah, because you think because you think everything's good, but then you're actually in the belly of it.
Yeah,
you know.
But I mean, go ahead.
No, go.
I was going to say, for me, I mean, all around, thinking about this movie, all the things I like about it, how fun it is, being able to rewatch it and still love every second of it.
Yeah.
For me, it's a high 4.5. Like, I don't have really that many faults with this movie. I have a lot of fun watching it. I think it's a movie I like to show people if they have never seen it. And it's well done. I think horror, Krampus themed movies are always done really like really badly, or be like they're really underfunded and it just looks really bad. Which and I love that we got a good Krampus movie with the great Krampus design.
Was it a Scary Christmas Story that had another? Was
It's a Christmas Horror Story, I think is the movie it's called.
And then they have Santa versus Krampus.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So many B and Z horror movies came after this movie with Krampus being the thing.
But no one's giving us a cooler Krampus design.
Yeah, no. This is going to be a new Christmas and Halloween tradition where we watch Krampus.
And Trick or Treat, yeah. Mm-hmm. Dylan?
Oh, did Pat give his rating?
Yeah.
I give it a 4.52, yeah.
I'm giving it a 4.52.
Well, look at that.
I really want to give it a 5 just because, again, there's nothing. I can't think of anything wrong with this movie.
No.
Technical, like behind the camera, on the camera, casting choices, dialogue, costume design, sound design, whole vibe and aesthetic, lighting. I mean, God, everything is
original story.
Original story. Well, I mean, you know, it's based off of Krampus, but the story that's based off of, you know, that's pulling from the character is really original. But it also follows a familiar Christmas movie tone of National Lampoon and families getting together for the holidays, a little dysfunctional. But the main point is that, and I think they're trying to make is, you know, Adam Scott is, you know, the liberal dad, and David Kocher is always like the antagonizing, like poking Republican, Democrats are wussies type stuff. But at the end of the day, when you got to help each other out, they slowly start to gain a little respect for each other because they start to kind of see that they're super similar in what they want. And so they kind of understand each other a little bit more and grow more respect for each other. And even though they're completely different people, and even though the sisters are now kind of distant, different people, when fucking Krampus is coming down your chimney, everybody's going to need to get the fuck along.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to need to put their petty left wing, right wing fucking family bullshit aside and come together for the family during the holidays. And once you get to know each other, you realize that everybody else isn't as bad as you might think they are. It just promotes a real true Christmas spirit type thing. It pokes at the capitalism upside of it. It pokes, you know, at other sides of it, but the message ingrained is kind of what I picked up the most. Everybody fitting an archetypal role, but all coming together at the end.
Yeah.
I really loved it. The only thing for me though is that the only problem I got with it is they kill the dog.
Yeah.
I don't like kill that dog.
And here's the thing. And I'm only going to bring this movie up once because I know we were going to talk about it, but now we're not.
Right.
But in Thanksgiving, there's a scene where the Thanksgiving guy kills a guy with a cat. And before he walks out, the cat goes, meow, and he turns around to the cat. And I said, if he kills this fucking cat, I'm walking out. And when you think he's going to kill him, he actually fills up the cat's food bowl and pets him a couple of times and leaves. And I'm like, oh, this guy's my hero. Oh, like, God. Oh, there goes my hero. You know, I was like, hell yeah, dude. Fucking badass. Yeah. Feed the cat. I don't care if you killed the guy. Feed and pet the cat.
Yeah.
I always, if you kill an animal I like, I'm gonna take away half a star. I'm sorry. That's the only thing I don't like about the movie.
Yeah.
I will give this movie its merits for it being PG-13.
Yeah, for what real.
It was able to do. I can only imagine if he was given an R-rated movie, what we actually would have gotten.
It didn't need it, dude.
No, because that's what I'm saying. It didn't need it.
There's a naughty version.
A family
version,
could watch this. Like a family I could watch
there's
this.
There's a naughty version.
Yeah, a naughty.
And that's what it's called.
Let the adults watch the naughty version. But, you know, I think
this Krampus fucks.
I think like 8, 9, 10-year-olds could definitely watch it with their family during Christmas. Yeah. It's not bloody. It's scary, but it's not bloody.
No, there's hardly any gore in this movie.
And I don't need blood all the time in my horror movies.
Yeah.
You know, I like something smart and creative and whimsical.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And you get everything you want from this movie. So yeah, four and a half out of
yeah, it's
four and
a half. You fucking hear it here on the bonus episode, y'all. Krampus got a 4.5, which is fucking way better than what it's rated on elsewhere. Have you watched Krampus? What do you think about Krampus? Do you think it's a good movie? Do you not think it's a good movie? These are the hard questions we want to know from you as our listeners.
Do you think Die Hard's a Christmas movie?
Do you think Die Hard is a Christmas movie?
Who cares?
No. But yeah, it's just, you know, we really did want to like make sure that we gave you guys an episode that had some like content that's normally what we go to. And what better way than give you guys some holiday scares with Krampus? So we hope you guys enjoyed the bonus episode. We're going to be doing more of these in the new year. Spoiler, you will need to subscribe to our Patreon, but it's okay. It's not going to cost you an arm and a leg to get access to our cool bonus episodes, but just know that that's coming in the future. But until then, guys, we'll see you in the new year. I'm Mike.
I'm Pat.
I'm Dylan.
Stay weird, y'all.